Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can we get your backstory of how you even got into the position that you're in? Because, you know, I'm assuming you didn't grow up wanting to work in the antitrust department for the Department of Justice. Maybe you did. But what was your journey like to get to where you are? And what are some of the, you know, the obstacles or hurdles that you may have faced or are still facing as a Black woman in your position?
Sure. So I went to college and law school not having a real sense of what I wanted to do in terms of like a legal specialty. But I spent a summer working at the United States Attorney's Office. And basically, that's the federal prosecutor's office. There's one in about 93 different federal districts in the United States. And I was really taken with the mission. I liked being the kind of federal prosecutor that protected people against the overreach of companies that really have the power to make life impossible for people, to deprive folks of economic opportunity. And then in terms of my path to public service, I was born in Sudan. I came to this country when I was 4 years old. And not long after we got here, the government dissolved in Sudan. There was a coup. There was a takeover by a regime that was brutal. And that was also deeply misogynistic. And my mother, a brilliant woman, came to this country in hopes of getting an advanced degree and pursuing academia. And so it was no longer safe for us to go home. And so we applied for asylum and were incredibly fortunate to get it. And so I feel a deep gratitude to this country for taking in my family at a time when the circumstances were not safe for us to go back. And so this is part of a debt of gratitude that I feel. And, you know, the Attorney General in his confirmation hearing talked about how serving the public was his highest and best use. And that really resonates with me. And I think it resonates with a lot of people who work at the Justice Department. In terms of antitrust, I started working at a law firm in New York City and handled an antitrust litigation and was totally hooked. I love the idea of taking on giants. I've never liked bullies my entire life. And so fighting bullies and making sure that we are protecting people when they cannot secure their own economic liberty from corporations that have so much power is the thing that gets me up every morning. And I'm really privileged to serve in the Biden-Harris administration under this attorney general, under this assistant attorney general, because there is a universal commitment to making sure that there's economic opportunity for all people and that there's market integrity above all, and that economic liberty will be part of our effort, as the Constitution says, to form and advance our more perfect union.
So let me play devil's advocate really quick. What do you say to the people who may say, well, Google is just a search engine, it's not doing any harm to anyone? And secondly, do you foresee maybe an OpenAI or NVIDIA going through this same kind of issue in a few years down the line?
So the thing about some monopolies is that they can threaten innovation and threaten opportunities in ways that you can't even conceive. For example, there are people who say that the Justice Department's monopolization lawsuit against Microsoft in the late 1990s may well have paved the way for Google and other tech companies to even take hold. Recall that the Microsoft enforcement action was about Microsoft allegedly thwarting the ability of competing browsers to offer their services on the Windows operating system. In terms of AI, what I find so interesting is that artificial intelligence is not actually new, right? Artificial intelligence just means intelligence that comes from a computer or software as opposed to humans or animals. And so we've had artificial intelligence in one form or another since probably the 1950s, right? So when you think about artificial intelligence, search engines, voice assisted search, content recommendation like you get on Netflix, all of that is within the broader umbrella of AI. I think what is different is that in the 2010s, there were serious breakthroughs in what's called deep learning. And I think that really supercharged investment in AI and the rollout of products that I think are bringing the public into contact with AI, like ChatGPT, for example. It's important to understand what services the ChatGPTs of the world are actually offering. They're built on large language models, right? And particularly foundation models that essentially take in massive, massive quantities of information and data. And so it stands to reason then that the companies that are already crawling and indexing the internet, of which they're actually kind of just two, right? There's Google, and you know that because you use Google search, and then there's Microsoft, right? Which offers the Bing service. Those companies are going to have a leg up in these new frontiers. And, you know, to go back to the question about Google not really doing any harm, obviously we filed two lawsuits that suggest otherwise. And it would be really a shame if the high watermark of competition in artificial intelligence was actually dictated by the fact that we only have two search companies, for example. Imagine if we had 9 or 10 or 15 different search engines that were all competing to offer you these next frontier services. So I think that's how I think about competition and the way that markets are supposed to evolve and the real harms that flow from one company dominating a particular product or service.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about now a use case that you guys have actually fought for in terms of education. In a few months, there will be plenty of high school seniors that will be graduating and looking to go to college. And the way it usually works is if you don't have money, you have to get financial aid. And financial aid can be something that is just kind of need-based, right? Like people will look at the income of your parents and they'll determine how much they're going to give you. And once you get one quote, it's tough to get a different one from another school. So can you elaborate on what you've done in as far as the antitrust division to kind of combat that and make a difference?
Sure. So I don't know about you guys, but I cannot think of anything I've done that is more expensive than buying a house and getting educated. You know, to your point, college seniors are graduating. They're going to be excited about colleges that they've gotten into, and they are applying for financial aid. There used to be legislation that allowed colleges and universities to collude on the formula that they were going to use to offer financial aid, so long as they were all need blind. Now, you guys are smart, you're sophisticated, you can probably already see what the problem is, right? If every college and university already knows what the other colleges and universities are using as the formula for financial aid, there's not going to be competition to offer the best aid package to students. And in a world where, or in a country rather, where student loan debt is drowning young people and stifling the American dream, the ability to buy a home, the ability to maybe take on lower paying public interest jobs and so forth, is really thwarted by that kind of conduct. And I should say, in addition to the monopolization work that our antitrust laws condemn, companies can't fix prices. They can't collude by rigging bids or allocating markets. And so this is essentially collusion by another name. And so there was a lawsuit that was filed against a number of colleges and universities saying that the way they were setting these formulas actually violated the antitrust laws. And the Justice Department filed an amicus brief, which is a fancy word for a kind of friend of the court brief to try to illuminate the way the law should be applied to that particular lawsuit, and took the side of the students who are suing the universities, and set out a framework for why that formula violates the antitrust laws. And I'm really pleased to say that a number of colleges and universities have actually settled with the college students. And more importantly, Congress has allowed the legislation that even allowed them to collude in the first place to sunset. And so that group, right, that was fixing prices, which we call a cartel, has since been disbanded. And so going forward, colleges and universities are supposed to be competing on the financial aid that they offer young people, which is a good thing and is good news and is an example of how this administration and this Justice Department is fighting for people across the country.
The college cartel.
So the cartel.
Yep.
The cartel play.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.